Kof Dalad Kislev, Erev Chanukah, Sunday the 2nd of December, Rabbi Mordechai Weiss, A New Way of Life.
So first of all, I'd like to take the opportunity again to thank the organizers for giving me the privilege and honor of being part of such a special program. Every single time I come here, I feel it's an extra special chus to be able to be part of this. And Hashem should help that I should be able to continue for many, many years. The title of today's shiur is A New Way of Life. Now, this is especially relevant to Chanukah, but the truth is that this is relevant to every single Yontif. We know that the Rebbeinu Shloimeh gave us many Yomim Tovim throughout the year. The Yontif is not just meant for those few days that we keep the Yontif. The Yontif is meant to give us an injection, it's meant to give us courage and inspiration that we should take along for the entire year. Every single Yontif has its unique lesson that we could take out from the Yontif, which is meant to accompany us throughout the entire year. Our life before every single Yontif and after every single Yontif has to be entirely different. If we went through the Yontif and we did not take along the lesson that this Yontif is meant to teach us, then to a certain extent we failed, because the purpose of the Yontif is that we should take it along. But obviously the first and most important point will be, what is the lesson that this Yontif teaches us that we are meant to take along and that's meant to change our life? So tonight, Mr. Hashem, we are starting to light the Chanukah candles. So we are starting the Yontif of Chanukah. Chanukah has its unique lesson, which is unique for Chanukah, and of course has to give us inspiration for the entire year. So what is the lesson of Chanukah? What is the point of Chanukah? So we know everything, we know as follows. Every single Yontif, or most Yomim Tovim, have two elements to it. Which means as follows. Which means, what makes a Yontif different to every other day of the year? Is the first and obvious thing is that you have a Chiyuv Shvisa, you mustn't do any malachas. Very similar to Shabbos, that you can't do any malachas, you can't do this, you can't do that. This is what makes it different. Our davening is different, we don't put on tefillin on Yontif. We keep all the malachas that are relevant to Yontif. So this is what makes Yontif different to every other day of the year. And then besides that, every Yontif has its unique mitzvah, which is, for instance, Rosh Hashanah, we blow the shofar. On Sukkot, we shake the dalad minim, we sit in the sukkah. Every single Yontif has its mitzvah. So there's two elements. There is what makes it different to every other day, which is the Shvisa, which is the fact that we can't do malachas. And then there's a second part, which is the individual mitzvah that this Yontif has, which brings out the thing that we got on that Yontif. So for instance, we eat Pesach, we eat Matzah on Pesach, which brings out the fact that we were saved from Mitzrayim. So we sit in the Sukkah, which brings out the fact that we have the Ananiya Kovit, and so on and so forth. Chanukah is different. Chanukah, there's no Issa Malachah. People can still go to work, people can still do every single malacha that we do the whole year round. We still put on tefillin every single day. It's basically the same as every other day of the year. So what makes Chanukah different to every other day of the year? With what is it different? The answer to that is, the Gemara says in Shabbos, Kovim v'osim yomim toivim. So the Gemara clearly states that it is a yontif. With what? V'halel v'hidur. The fact that these are days which are filled with halal v'hidur. Halal is a certain lashon of praise. I'm not exactly sure how to translate it in English. It's the Indian of praising the Rebbeinu Shloimeh. And hidur is the Indian of being thankful to the Rebbeinu Shloimeh. These 8 days have to be, from beginning of the 8 days, which starts tonight, till the end of the eight days, have to be full of halal v'hidur. And this is what's going to make these days different to every other day of the year. And the same thing we see clearly in the Roshan of Alanism, we say, by davening, V'kavu shemoinas yemei Chanukah eili, with what? L'hoidois ilahalot. And the same Roshan of the Rambam says, Mepnai zeh eskinu chachomem shebo'is tzedor. the Chachamim of that generation, they were mistaken, that these 8 days, that the first one is Chofei Kislev, should be Yemei Simcha V'Hal. So we see that these days, this is what makes these days different to every other day of the year, is the fact that it's Yemei Simcha V'Hal. And very, very interesting enough, most Yemei Toivim we say Hal. If you're going to look in the Rambam, where does the Rambam bring down Hilchas Hal? Where does the Rambam bring it down? In Hilchas Hanukkah. That's where the Rambam brings down Hal, because the Indian of Hal is Hanukkah. Hanukkah is what symbolizes Hal. This is what these days. So we see from here that the Indian of Hal is not just something that we do when we daven, and it's not something that we do just part of the day. The entire 8 days have to be filled from beginning to end, have to be filled with the Indian of Hal Vahidu. But this is what makes these days different. But besides for this is what makes these days different to other days of the year, this is also the mitzvah which is unique to that Yom Tov. Just like we eat matzah on Pesach and we sit in the sukkah on Sukkos, the saying the Hal on Chanukah is the mitzvah of the day. And why is that? Why does that bring out the ness of Chanukah? Why is saying Hal, how does that show the ness of Chanukah? I'm not going to go into it, I'm just going to say it very, very briefly, because the main thing I want to get to is how to apply it in a practical way in our life. The answer to that is as follows. The Yevanim, what they wanted is one thing. They wanted to bring out, Ein lochem kisvi lochem al keren ashoi. They wanted the Yidden to ingrain and to write that Ein lochem chaylik be'lekai yisrul lechlil v'chas. The Yidden have no shaykhus with the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam is not interested in your mitzvahs that you do. The Ribbono Shel Olam has no interest in that. This is what the Yevanim want. How did Hashem show them that they are wrong? When the Ribbono Shel Olam made a nest with the nest Chanukah, with the shaman, that you lit the candle one day and it lit for an entire 8 days, which is something which is completely beyond nature, he made a nest which is Shloike Derech HaTeva, he made a miracle. With that, the Ribbono Shel Olam showed, I am interested in your avodah. I really want your avodah. To such an extent I want it, I'm going to make a miracle that something which could only burn for one day is going to burn for 8 days. With that, the Ribbono Shel Olam showed clearly through that I am interested in your avodah. So let's, to put it in a nutshell, what did we get on Chanukah? What did we gain on Chanukah? Chanukah, we got one thing. We got Avodas Hashem. Ribbono Shel Olam showed us that he is interested in our avodah that we do, and this is what we got on Chanukah. So therefore, the mitzvah that we have to do on Chanukah is to show that we've received Avodas Hashem. What is Avodas Hashem? Someone would say Avodas Hashem includes 613 mitzvahs. But if you want to make, what is the point, what is the highlight of Avodas Hashem? The point of Avodas Hashem is one thing. We say this every single day by davening. In a nutshell, what Avodas Hashem means is Lehoides Lecho, to thank the Ribbono Shel Olam, and to have gratitude to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and to be thankful to the Ribbono Shel Olam. This is what is the highlight of Avodas Hashem. We'll say this again later on by davening, Vurich Elekaini Shebra'onu Lechvoidoi, to do what? Lehaleloi, Eleshabchoi, Elesaper Oidoi, to praise him, and to say his thing, and to thank him for all the good things that he does for us. This is what is the Avodas Hashem. So therefore we understand why it's so important Hal Vedue on the days of Chanukah. Since Chanukah is the days that we receive this Inyan of Avodas Hashem, how do we celebrate that? How do we show that we receive the Avodas Hashem? This is by doing Hal Vedue, which Hal Vedue brings out, this is the highlight of Avodas Hashem. This is what we have to do all these days. And the same thing, truth is, people think that lighting the Chanukah candles is the main thing of the Yom Tov, but it's not true. We say this whilst we light the Chanukah candles. Hanayir sovi likoydashayim, v'ayinu nirshis l'shtamashvem, elu l'roysam bevat, kedai l'hoydois l'halel l'shimcho agudl. The whole entire purpose of lighting the Chanukah candles is only for one reason. Kedai, to bring out the person, that the person should start praising and praising the Ribbono Shel Olam and thanking the Ribbono Shel Olam. So we see that the entire Chanukah evolves this subject, this Inyan of Hal Vedue. So as we said now, Hal Vedue is what makes these days different to every other day of the year. And besides for that, this is the unique mitzvah of the Yom Tov of Chanukah. Now, Hal Vedue, I said, mentioned two things, but it's two separate things. Hal is one thing and Vedue is something else. Hal means you praise the Ribbono Shel Olam. Vedue means to thank the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's two different things. And I want to try and explain the difference between the two things. There's a famous Ramban in the end of Parashas Bo, which many of you may know. The Ramban says as follows. He says there's a big misconception, a big misunderstanding by many, many, many people. Many people, and probably most of the nations of the world, they think there's something which is called nature. Nature. There's something which is a minigo oilam, teva minigo oilam. There's something which is called nature. The Ramban says, but this is a big mistake. The Ramban says there's no such thing as nature. There's only something called miracles. Now, you have miracles which are revealed miracles, which everyone can tell straight away. And you have miracles which are hidden miracles. But everything that happens in the world does not happen by itself. There's someone behind everything, and every single thing is a miracle. Ad kedai kach, the Ramban says that someone who does not believe in this thing, and someone who believes there is something called nature, he is chalila v'chas called an apikoyer, says the Ramban. He hasn't got any chedik in the Torah. The inyan of this, we have to start believing. The number one is we have to start believing that there's something, nothing happens by itself. Everything is from the Rebbein Shalom. And the Rebbein says that the whole purpose of the Rebbein Shalom every so often sends us big miracles is that the miracles shall teach us that even things which don't seem to be like miracles are really, in truth, they are miracles. Every single thing is a miracle. And that's very interesting if you're going to notice where did Chazal put in the Alanissim, in which part of Shemin Esr did they put in the Alanissim? They put it in the Moedim, the Birchas Hiduim. Birchas Hiduim, this is the part of the davening that we mention, Al Nisecha Shebechol Yom Yomonu, Val Niflo Yisecha V'Tevisecha Shebechol Ayis. This is where we mention all the miracles that the Rebbein Shalom does to us on every single day, on a daily basis. This is where we put in the Inyan of Alanissim, which talks about the big Ness of the Ness Chanukah, which was a revealed Ness. Because there's absolutely no difference between the revealed Nissim and the hidden Nissim. This is all one thing. So this is step number one. Step number one will be to realize and to notice that nothing happens by itself. Nothing is nature, but rather every single thing is a miracle. Now, there's another step. And as I go to this next step, I'll say a story which I recently heard. And this story was repeated by someone called Reb Chaikel Meletzky. Reb Chaikel Meletzky was a big gadol. He lived in Yerushalayim, in Eretz Yisrael. And originally he came from Russia. He said the following story. It was about 1915, 1916, somewhere in the middle of one of the thick Russian forests. He was there at the time he was a soldier who was fighting in the war. It was by the First World War, and they were fighting, I believe it was the Austria-Hungarian Empire. And they were fighting them, and they had a big thing of soldiers together. And they were camouflaged. So obviously they had clothing which looked similar to the forest, so they shouldn't be able to tell. And the enemy's planes were flying overhead. And in order that they shouldn't notice them, they had to stay undercover. The general gave out, he told every single person there, that because we're in big danger, the planes are flying overhead, everyone must stay still and not even move an inch. Because as soon as the people start moving, and they see that something is going on, they'll notice that it's not a camouflage, they'll notice that it's a whole thing of soldiers, and they stop shooting. Everyone has to stay still without moving an inch. If someone is not going to listen to this, and someone is going to start moving or doing something, then the general said, I will kill him on the spot. I'm not going to wait for them to kill you. I'm going to kill them because it's putting everyone else in danger. So the enemy flights are going overhead. All of a sudden, there's just one soldier there who could not contain himself. He was an expert at aiming guns. He was an extremely big expert, and he took his gun and he pointed it on the enemy plane, and he pulled the trigger, and it was a direct hit. The entire plane came flying down with the pilot, and it came crashing down, and they managed to kill this enemy. And not only that, they went to this plane of the enemy, and they went inside, and they found big, big secrets that they were planning on doing, and all the war secrets, and they were able to retrieve all that information. And with that, this is what was very, very instrumental in helping them win the war. Eventually, they actually won the war, and that was a big part, was because of this thing that they managed to capture this plane, and they managed to get all the information that was inside, and they were saved of the war. So the war finished, the First World War finished, and to a certain extent, he was a big hero, this soldier. You know, he was the one that captured this plane, and he was the one that was instrumental in having them win the war. They made the general called this soldier to court. He said that he didn't listen to He didn't listen to the general. And we know that in the wartime, if someone does not listen to the general, it's a capital offense. He didn't listen to the general, so that he deserves death penalty for that. So they made the big, big court case, and the people coming from all over the place to say, what is the judge going to say? On the one hand, he was the one that helped save the war. If not for him, then we probably would have lost the war. On the other hand, he didn't listen to the orders that the general gave him. So what do we do now? So they had this big problem here. The verdict came out as follows. You disagreed to the... You didn't listen to the general. You deserve death penalty for that. But he turns around to the prosecutors and said as follows. Do you not think that someone who helped save the country doesn't deserve to get a present for it? Doesn't deserve to get, you know, to get, that you should pay him something for it? He says, of course. So what I'm going to do is as follows. I'm going to give him a death penalty, and I'm going to give him a present which is called life. I'm going to give him a new present. It's a new present. In other words, we've punished him, that, you know, he deserves the death penalty. But at the same time, I'm going to give him a present, which is called life. Two separate things. So this way, he got both. This is the lesson of this thing that Chaim Chmielewski said. He learned from this thing something, an unbelievable lesson. That every single thing we have is a present. Life is also present. It's because people think and believe that they deserve it, and it's a nature that because they were living yesterday, they're going to live tomorrow, therefore they don't feel that it's a present. If the person would actually notice that every single thing we have is a present, then he would start praising the Rebbe. He would start thanking the Rebbe. Step number one is to notice that nothing happens by itself. Step number two will be to notice that every single thing we have is a present from the Rebbe. And of course, if everything is a present from the Rebbeinu Shloim, then we have a klal, me'ita l'sayt zayruas, which means that the Rebbeinu Shloim does not give broken presents. He does not give presents which are bad. All the presents the Rebbeinu Shloim gives is all the toivas, all for the good. Now, that does not mean that we always see the presents. Very, very often we get presents in the post, we get different gifts and presents, which are wrapped up in brown wrapping paper, in black wrapping paper. And very often we don't even know that there's anything inside. And for some people, they don't even bother opening it up because they think, you know, it's a block of wood. They don't have that. If they would just open up the wrapping paper, they would see that there's a present inside. The same thing as the Rebbeinu Shloim. He gives us constant presents every single moment of the day. Presents called life, presents called health, presents called panusa, presents called children. These are all presents. Every single thing that happens in our life is a present. Most of them, in most cases, these are presents that we can see straight away. And in some instances, these are presents which are covered up in a wrapping paper, in a black wrapping paper, in a brown wrapping paper. And we don't even bother to open them. But the truth is that inside there's a present which is hidden. And I'd like to share with you something which I was very, very, very inspired by it, and perhaps you would also be. There's a Gemara Baba Basra that says as follows. The Gemara Baba Basra says that someone who sells a property for someone else. And inside the property there's different things. There's a little pond, and there's a little, you know, little path that we could go through. He does not necessarily sell him every single thing that's inside the property. He sells him the main property, but the garden and different parts of the... Unless he specifically said that he sells him that, then it's not necessarily included in the sell. That's when we talk about someone who sells something to someone else. Whereas if someone gives a present to someone else, he gives someone else a present, a property, then he gives the person every single thing which is inside the property, which includes the pond, includes the pathway, and every single thing which is inside. Why is that? The Gemara says a klal. Kol hanoisen matune, someone who gives a matune to someone else, a present, a gift to someone else, noisen ba'ayin yufa. He gives generously. When people want to give presents, they give generously. When people sell to other people, they don't necessarily sell generously. They sell whatever they said they're going to sell. Presents people give generously. And why is that such a special thing to know? People are constantly looking for ways to improve their life and to succeed in life. Now here's the secret. It's an extremely good secret. The way the person views his life and everything that happens in his life, this is the way that the Rebbeinu Shloim is going to treat him. Which means as follows. If the person looks at his life and he thinks that he deserves it, he didn't get this as a present. Yeah, of course he deserves it. He was living this morning, so he's living now. So then, in other words, he is viewing his life as a mekach, as a sell, as something which is not a present. So therefore, not necessarily he's going to get a generous dosage of it. Whereas if the person realizes and he notices that everything that his life is a present that he got from the Rebbeinu Shloim, then he gets the saftocher, that the Rebbeinu Shloim, when he gives a present, he gives it generously, he gives it v'ein yofer. So as soon as the person notices that the life is a present, then all of a sudden he starts being successful. So one example is a person wakes up in the morning and he thinks to himself, this entire day ahead of me, I've got this entire day ahead of me full of things which I'm going to be doing throughout the day. I'm going to be living, I'm going to be doing mitzvahs, I'm going to be doing different things in my life. This is an unbelievable present which I just received from the Ribbono Shel Olam. This coming day is a beautiful present which the Ribbono Shel Olam is giving me. He notices that this entire day is a present. You know what happens? The Ribbono Shel Olam says, listen, this child, he notices that this is a present. I'm going to give him a generous dosage of it. I'm going to give him a generous dosage that this present is going to be extremely successful. He's going to succeed with anything he does in this day, he's going to succeed. And I'll take care of everything throughout the day. He's not going to have to do anything throughout the day. I'll take care of all of his needs, because when I give a present, I give it very, very generously. And the same thing is, a person looks around and sees the beautiful thing which is called children. He looks around at the children and he says something which is not taken for granted. It's a present that Ribbono Shel Olam gave him. Ribbono Shel Olam says, he notices that his children are a present. I'm going to make him succeed. He's going to succeed in chinuch habonim. He's going to be able to succeed in bringing up his children. He's going to succeed. His children are going to have long life. Because something which, as soon as I give presents, I give generous presents. I'm going to give it with a full generosity. And the same thing when he looks at his health and he says, and he notices that this is not something which is taken for granted, but rather it's a present which the Ribbono Shel Olam is giving him every single moment of the day, that all the 613 parts of his body are constantly working, and everything, all these extremely sophisticated machinery inside his body is constantly working every single second. This is a present from the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, wow, he notices this is a present and he's thanking me for it. I'm going to give him a generous dosage of it. I'm going to give him health and he's going to have good health and a long life. And the same thing is when it comes to income, it comes to panusa, the person has a job and he's making money, and he notices it's not something taken for granted, but rather the Ribbono Shel Olam gave him this present. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, wow, he notices it's a present, I'm going to give him a generous dosage of it. I mean, he's going to have panusa berevich. And the same thing is in every single part of the person's life. The most important thing is that you have to notice who is behind this present. A present doesn't come by itself. Behind every single present, there is a father who loves us, who's standing behind every single present, and he's giving it to us, b'mu'apunem, with a shining face, with a loving face, and he's giving us the present because he loves us. Wouldn't it be it's a beautiful, beautiful thing that someone told me that he took upon himself, that especially in the days of Chanukah, he sat down for a moment, and this is not only things that we have in the present, this is everything that happened in the past also. He says he took upon himself that he took a few minutes a day, that he sat down by himself and he started going through every single thing that went through his life, things that occurred to him in the past. And of course, most things that occurred to him were things which were good and brought back good memories. And he said, you know what, I'm going to notice, I'm going to realize that these are presents from the Ribbono Shel Olam, because I want to succeed. And as soon as I notice that this is a present, I'm going to be successful in it. And then he also went through the things which did not bring back such good memories, things which at the time he thought that were bad things, things which were hidden presents, things which were wrapping paper, and things which to this very day he still feels guilty that he made the wrong decisions and wrong things. And he thought to himself, you know, these things are also presents. These things are presents perhaps in a black wrapping paper, but they're still presents. And I believe and I notice that behind all those black wrapping paper there is a loving father which gave me all those things also. And then he went and he started thinking about all the things he has in his present, things which bring him good memories and things which bring him negative feelings, and things that can happen in the future also, things he's worried about in the future. And he thought to himself, every single thing is a present, a gift from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And by doing that, and all of a sudden he had this beautiful siyata d'shmaya, because when a person notices that everything is from the Ribbono Shel Olam, then we have this klal, that kol hanoisim matune ba'ayin yofi hinoisim. There's a beautiful word that the B'Shem HaKodesh says as follows. He says, there was a person who was stuck on top of the Empire State Building, or rather on the Twin Towers when it was still around. He was on the top floor, and all of a sudden he noticed that the lock in his room was broken. He had no way of getting out of his lock. And for some funny reason, his telephone in his room was also broken, and that was before the days of the mobile telephones, so he had no way, before the emails also, he had no way of contacting the outside world, and no way of getting the message out that he's stuck here. And he was scared he's going to be stuck here forever. He decided that he's going to have to try and attract the attention of the people who were walking down there. So the first thing he did is he had a wad of cash. He started throwing down the $5 notes, $5 notes in America, or $20 notes. And he's watched it sailing down, and he sees it falling to the floor, and then he sees a person walking past, and this person sees, you know, this thing coming down, so he takes the thing, and he gives a big smile on his face, he puts it into his pocket, and he walks, he continues walking on his way. He tried it again, and the same thing happened again and again. He saw that this is not going to work, so he had to try and find a different tactic. What did he do? He said he had a plant pot that was filled with little stones. He took one of those little stones, and he threw it out the window. And it basically almost landed on someone's head. This person saw the stone, and he got ripped, and he got furious. Where is the stone coming from? And he's noticed, and he made sure to throw down another stone just then and there. And he saw it was coming from that window. He quickly contacted the police, and the police came and ran up all the stairs, all the way up to the... You have to catch this terrorist who's, you know, throwing down stones at people. And that's how he would manage to be saved. But Shem HaKodesh says as follows. It says, the Rebbeinu Shlomo wants one thing. Burich ye lekainish ebruuni lechvoidoi, for one purpose. Lehaloi ilishabchoi ilisaperhoidi. That we should notice. When the father gives a present to a child, what is the thing the father wants the most? The father wants the most one thing. He wants the child to notice that he's giving them a present. He wants the child to give a smile to the father. Say, Father, I notice and I feel that you've given me the present. This is what the Rebbeinu Shlomo wants more than anything else. He wants us Yidden to notice and realize that he is the one that's giving us presents. So it says, B'Shem HaKodesh, first thing he tries to do, he gives us good things. He gives us dollar bills, $20 bills, $5 bills. The person takes the dollar bills, puts it into his pocket, doesn't even bother to look up to see where it's coming from, and continues on his life. So then Chalid Rebbeinu Shlomo says, I see that he's not noticing where it's coming from, so I'll have to try the other thing. So he has to start throwing little stones, so that the person should pick up his eyes and see where the stones are coming from. Talk about Shema Kudosh. We say, B'Hoidi L'Shem, they're talking about the four people who are saved from four different scenarios, which is that people are in a sakona, people who are saved from the sea, saved from the desert, saved from being in prison, saved from illness, then they have to give Hoidu. We see at the end of that capital, Michulchom Ve'Yishmo Reile. Who is a clever person? Ve'Yishmo could come from the Lushan of someone who wants to avoid all these things. Michulchom, and he wants to save himself and avoid himself from all those four things of Sakune. Ve'Yizboinani Chaste Hashem. He should think and notice that all Chasudim of the Rebbeinu Shalom, and by doing that, he's going to notice that he's going to start getting more and more of these things, because it's not going to be necessary to throw down the little stones. If the person, straight when he gets the dollar bill, looks up straight away, then there's no need to throw down the little stones. This is what makes us even different than the Goyim. What makes a Yid different to a Goy? A Yid is called Yehudi. Yehudi means someone who thanks the Rebbeinu Shalom. The Goyim haven't got this thing because they believe in nature. They don't believe that there's a loving Father which is behind entire nature. So they don't give, they don't thank the Rebbeinu Shalom for all this. We have it in our DNA. We are called Yehudi because we have the ability to notice that there is a loving Father behind everything we have in our life. And the more we praise, the more we thank the Rebbeinu Shalom, then the more we are a Yid, the more we are a Yehidi. This is our lesson that we have to take out from the Chanukah. Our life after Chanukah and our life before Chanukah has to be a completely different life. It has to be a life full of gratitude, a life full of thanking the Rebbeinu Shalom. It's not just that we thank the Rebbeinu Shalom a few moments a day. The entire 8 days and the entire life afterwards have to be a life full of thanking the Rebbeinu Shalom. A life of noticing all the presents. And by doing that, we're going to be zoiche that kol noisen matune b'ayin yufei noisen. The Rebbeinu Shalom, when he gives presents, he gives it with a generosity. And we should be zoiche to light the Chanukah candles with a simcha and be kind the mitzvah the way we have to. We should be zoiche to the gelish line of v'mahayri b'yamayin yomay.
Yes, very pleasant. Very, very, very.